Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Ephesians. We are studying a book transitioning God's plan, God's method of reaching this world. The law has come to an end. Christ has ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit has descended and the church has begun. But try to put all that together when you don't have modern communication like we have now. And so it is very believable that it's going to take time for change. When you read the book of Acts, remember it's a time of great change. Always keep that in mind. Again, remember, if I just told you tonight, we're going now back to the law, and let's pretend God really meant it, and Paul stood here and said, we're going back to the law, we would have trouble adjusting that, really. Really. So in some respects, you can't blame people hesitant to change, but by the same token, when they saw the sign gifts, oh, I guess something to your word there. And of course, the Holy Spirit convicting people and on and on. So it is, we are studying a transition from the Jewish system under the law and now to the church. And we have been emphasizing that point. And again, I have been taking larger passages of Scripture, moving through this book, because I always want to keep the flow. It's not that the issues can't be drilled down on. They certainly could, and I want to take at the end of this and go back and do some more in-depth studies, but I want you to see the flow first. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, doctrine. Chapters 4, 5, and 6, application. Very, very simple outline of this book. Tonight we're going to be continuing about the family. Children, fathers, servants, and masters. Let us read Ephesians 6, 1 through 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. You ready for an extremely simple outline? Verses 1 through 3, Christian children. Verse 4, Christian fathers. Verses 5 to 6, Christian servants. And verse 9, Christian masters. Pretty simple, isn't it? Well, we in our last study were talking about the wife and the husband. It's only logical it flows into these passages. It's a continuation, and the whole book is a flow. And we're talking about application in chapters 4 through 6. So this is application in the church age. But there has always been child training throughout the Old Testament. And so it is, chapters 1 through 3 lay the foundation with doctrine, and then we see great truths of application in 4 through 6. He is now talking about the family. Paul is setting forth guidelines for proper behavior for each believer in the church. Ready for this? Tend to your personal life. And I want you just to stop again and think about this big picture right now. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, masters. He tells you right there in those roles in life, do right, be holy. I have said this many times, but I want you just to see it. He's not saying, now look for the will of God. He's going to send you to the depths of the Amazon. No, right where you are. Trust God in your daily living as a Christian. Saved by grace apart from works, but once you're a Christian, trust. He planted you in time and space. And he made no mistake. That's why when he says, take up your cross, he doesn't say, go look for it. It's right in front of you. Take it. And it is a cross. All of these responsibilities, Christians are going to find, if we will, headaches and challenges. But God is there, and he wants us to deal with them properly in a God-honoring way. I find it also very interesting how few verses Paul has given us on the family, and yet how profound it is. And we have seminars and conferences and books and videotapes and experts going on. And there's a whole lot right here in God's Word if we would only read it and apply it. Matter of fact, I find it incredible how simple some of this is. It almost feels kind of silly having to explain it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's not a whole lot to explain. And I don't mean that to sound funny. I do find it interesting, too. Paul's writing a letter. Now think about this, all of its simplicity. And he sent it to the believers at Ephesus to read. Who's he talking to? Children, obey your parents. He is writing to children who apparently have been educated by their parents. They're old enough now to pick up this letter and read it themselves. Children, I'm talking to you. Obey your parents. As the father, the wife, the servant, and others have read, the children can read that and say, oh, this passage is for us. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, obviously taken from the law, the Ten Commandments, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. You want to live a long life? Honor your parents. How long? I don't want to go too deep into this. I mean, we could do a whole family series right here, right? I just want to gather a couple key points. How long do you honor your parents and obey your parents? Get this. Therefore, for this cause, Ephesians 5:31, shall a man leave his father and mother and set up his own house. Now, that doesn't mean you all of a sudden blow raspberries at your parents. Because you ought to always honor your parents. But as far as obedience, you have to now set up your house. And so it is that they do leave at a certain time, and parents, you must let go. Didn't you want to be let go and start your own home? That doesn't mean you don't love your father and mother. It's the reality of life. And that way they go out and start their own, and they start to train up their children. And this is God's plan. And one day, grandma and grandpa die. And life goes on because they have been able to be trained at home. They have had mom and dad there as they grew up through the years, even to help with child training. What did you do when I did this as a kid? Or something to that effect. It's not that the family all of a sudden dissolves when you leave home. But the role changes, and the father and the mother need to be joined, and they shall be one flesh. This is God's plan. The parents are to work themselves out of a job. And the child is to accept responsibility when he's an adult. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it is right. The whole book is talking, if you really stand back and look, he's talking to Christian behavior. Because we could start to get into, well, what about if dad or mom isn't saved, or mom and dad, neither one of them are saved? And what do I do if my dad's a drunk and he spends all the money? And the list goes on and on. The truth is, Paul didn't really give any attention to this, other than fathers, you ought to be doing right. But what do you do with the unsaved? He didn't address that. So I don't want to extract more than is there. But it is interesting to say Ephesians 6:4, again, speaking to Christian fathers, the believers at Ephesus, and ye fathers, Ephesians 6:4, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, we can frustrate the daylights out of our kids. And this ought not to be. And some of you, even as adults, can say, yes, when I was a child, I was very frustrated. Don't do that. Rather, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Admonition here follows very closely to the children. Because obviously there's an intimate relationship here. And it's interesting, it doesn't say moms, it says dads. First of all, dad has the number one responsibility in the home. To guide in righteousness. Don't provoke your children unto wrath. And I will say it again. Well, I don't know how to be a good father because my father was a lousy father. Well, how do you know he was a lousy father? Well, because if he was a good father, he would have done this, this, and this. Fine, then go do it. If you knew he was wrong, then you must have known what he should have done, or at least had an idea. It is a very real consideration in the sin-sick world that families are suffering and children are being abused. I understand that, and wives are being abused, and husbands are not being followed by the wife, and on, I understand there's family strife. And you must seek God in these matters. It's interesting that Jesus Christ, in Luke 2:51, he went down, he, Jesus, went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them, Mary and Joseph. Even Jesus, the perfect God in the flesh, submitted to his parents. So if you think, well, my parents aren't perfect, you're right. And neither will you be when you're a parent. And even hanging on the cross, look what Jesus did for his mom. When Jesus therefore, John 19:26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, I believe that to be John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Somebody's got to provide for my mother. Even on the cross he cared about his mother. If you have a difficult family life, start to apply these principles and pray. Christian fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We already touched upon this because it was such a logical flow with the children. This command for the fathers to provoke not their children, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, goes well with the children to obey. And consider, the father is the head. Ephesians 5:26, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Children, obey your parents. Do you realize the responsibility that's on the father? He is to nurture, to care for his children. He is to love his wife. He is to be the one who leads. And he is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love us? When we were yet dead in trespasses and sin. When your wife is unlovable, you love her. As Christ loved us when we were unlovable. Fathers, conduct yourself properly. Let your kids see you love your wife. Make it very obvious. Let them hear you say those words. Let your children see you give your wife a big hug and a kiss. Let them know that they are happily married. It will give them an incredible peace of mind. Don't provoke them. Rather, nurture them. I want you to consider, too, that child training is not a hands-off endeavor. Well, I put a roof over their head, I gave them a place to sleep, clothes on their back, and I gave them food on the table. That's enough. No, it isn't. You have not tended to their spiritual needs. Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day, talking to the children of Israel, shall be in thy heart. And you, Israel, shall teach them diligently the words of God unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Parents, training children is very serious business, and you ought to, number one, focus on their spirituality. Think about the mature subject matter of the Proverbs, talking about evil women and all the snares of life you can get caught up in. That's not talking to a little two-year-old kid. That's talking to a kid who's probably ready to enter society. Proverbs 1:10, My son, are you listening to me? Fathers, are you still talking to your kids? I hope so. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And the list goes on and on and on. My son, my son, my son, my son. Hence, the father has the great responsibility to lead, the wife has the great responsibility to submit, and the children have the great responsibility to obey. Christian servants. This one's a little different. The family, the husband, the wife, the kids, and I understand there are always obvious exceptions, But you're stuck with each other, right? You stood at the altar and said, I do, till death do us part. And the kids didn't have a choice. God planted them in your family according to his will. But masters and servants, I'm just going to quit this job because I think my boss is a jerk. Right? I mean, you can walk from this one pretty easy. Let's read what the Bible has to say about Christian servants. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. According to the flesh. With fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye servants as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You may have an unsaved boss. Absolutely not only just no interest in Christianity, maybe very antagonistic towards Christianity. Let me quote here from the commentary. He says, servants, whether they be in the home or employees outside, at the time the apostle wrote, they were slaves, generally speaking. The word doulos, translated here servants, means slave, one's purchased, but you notice in verse 8, he is thinking not merely about a purchased slave, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Today we would call that an employee. Bond or free. I don't have to stay here. Continue. And therefore the instruction which of old was given to slaves now applies to all employees. Slaves were purchased with the money of the master or born into the house and raised up by the master. But today we enter an agreement, we sell our labor, and in that way enter into a certain relationship which makes us just as responsible to heed the admonition given here. There would never be trouble between capital and labor if the word of God were properly revered in this connection. If the instruction given here had proper place in all hearts and lives. However, it is not expected that unsaved men will heed this admonition. But he is addressing Christian employees. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. This means, of course, the fear of not rendering proper service to your employer and so grieving the Holy Spirit of God. It's very serious, the chain of command that God has established. It gives law and order. Now, this is not to say that you can never quit your job. But you better make sure that God wants you to quit that job. And not you're just have a bad attitude and I can't put up with this jerk anymore, I'm out of here. Personal experience, many years ago. I worked for a corporation. And the boss, shall we say, was unreasonable. He said with great understatement. And I knew God didn't want me to leave. And a year later, I knew God was saying, it's time. And I put in my 2-week notice, and I went to another job. And I was very happy. But I knew if I would have left before, I left for the wrong reason. I left because I just was sick of it. Instead of God wanted me to leave. Make sure if you change jobs, you change because God wants you to change jobs. God has placed that master there, and he may be or she may be very unreasonable. Did you know God may want that unreasonable master to change something in you? And just maybe that's the tool that God wants to use to make you a better person. And when you run from it, you have missed what God had for you. Your situation as a servant is not going unnoticed by God. He designed it. Again, a little decision here in life, and a decision over here, and the next thing you know, they alter your life greatly. Pay attention to your decisions. I want you to consider the servant. Ready? Chapter 6, verse 5, at the end of the verse, as unto Christ. Verse 6, in the middle, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, in the middle of the verse, as to the Lord. Verse 8, towards the middle of the verse, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Servants, God knows exactly where you are and what is going on. He knows the pain you feel. He knows the blessings you feel. Some of you are very happy with your employers. Some of you, the boss is like fingernails down a blackboard. And he says, don't leave until you're sure God wants you to leave. You're free. Bond or free. Some have no choice. And then it's logically followed up with Christian masters. Chapter 6, verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Everybody one day is going to stand before God. Some at the white throne judgment. Christians, you're going to stand there before the Bema seat. But there does come a day. Again, quote, now he turns to masters, Christian masters. Again, we have to say, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. The same things. Paul says that to the master, the same things. You expect your employees to honor you, to recognize their responsibility to rightly serve you. Very well, now, masters, it's your responsibility to properly consider the welfare of your employees. You have been trusted with means or have been put in a position where you administer the means of others. See that you do not look upon your employees as mere hands and so much labor to be ground from them, just to get the very most out of them and give them the very least. But remember that as they are responsible to serve the Lord Christ, so are you, and you are to do it to his glory. But I don't have a Christian boss. Pray for him and pray for yourself. Peter addressed this issue in 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, obnoxious. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. What glory is it when you're buffeted for your own faults and you take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. God sees, God knows, and God rewards occasionally in one day. Quote again, forbearing, threatening, nothing of an unkind, cruel, or discourteous character is to be seen in the Christian master. Knowing that your master also is in heaven and that you have to give an account. Therefore, for all your dealings with your employees, if you cut down their wages when it's not necessary, if you seek to force them to work under unhealthful or insanitary conditions, God is looking on and jotting everything down in his books of record. And when he sees that you behave in an unchristian-like way toward those dependent largely upon you because they're working for you, see how Christianity equalizes everything. Here is the true socialism, not a leveling of all distinctions, but men and women of every class subject to Christ. That puts everything right. Ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in his heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. Aren't you glad the Bible deals with reality? And the Bible tells us some bosses are going to be froward. And they're going to strain the very tethers of your sanity. And God says, I know. I know. Hang in there. There is a season, right? Ecclesiastes, for every purpose under heaven. For a season, God will put you somehow, somewhere. But one day, it may be in your death, it will end. And God says, I knew it all. And I kept the perfect score. Hang in there. Consider the flow of this text. The wife is to be in submission to the husband. The husband is to be subject to his responsibilities to his wife. The husband is to be subject to the responsibilities he has to the Lord. Children are to be subject to the parents. The father is to be subject to the responsibilities that he has to care for his children. The father has the responsibility of doing what God wants him to do. The servant has the responsibility to his master. The servant also has his responsibilities to God. The master has his responsibilities to the servant. The master also has responsibilities to the Lord. Ultimately, everybody is submitting to somebody. That's why he started this whole thing with being submission one to another. And by the way, you may look at the boss and think he's unreasonable. You don't carry the headaches home. Maybe if you were the boss, you wouldn't be really great. Maybe you wouldn't deal with the headaches as well. But God knows that's really the bottom line. Everyone needs to tend to their own responsibility. This is what really Paul is talking about. Walk worthy. And he starts to address people and groups and truths of how each one of us ought to behave in our Christian walk. And if everybody tended to their own backyard, wouldn't this be a wonderful world? And be content with what you have. Look at Ephesians 5:20. Right from the same letter. All Christians, would you give thanks always to all things? Stop complaining about the boss, the husband, the children, to the parents. Servant of the master. Master has got miserable servants. Would everybody just give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Look how he started it, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If we all submitted to the responsibilities that we have, remembering that one day we're going to stand before God and be accountable, it would change. Submission, even Jesus Christ, submitted to the will of God the Father. And there came a time when he left his throne in glory. Aren't you glad he submitted? Because if Jesus Christ had not submitted and left his throne in glory and took on the form of a servant as a man and willfully went to the cross, we would have no hope for salvation had he not submitted. Now, obviously, we're never going to carry such a burden as paying the sin debt of the world, but we carry the message. And maybe our conduct will affect someone trusting Christ or a Christian behaving better as a Christian. You never know who's watching. And people do watch. And he reminds the believers at Ephesus how they were saved. For by grace... Do you believers at Ephesus remember this? For by grace are you saved, past tense, through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He was reminding them in that passage, do you remember how you got saved? It wasn't your good works. It's not of yourselves, it's by faith. It's the gift of God, and it wasn't your works. None of you are going to stand in heaven and boast. Let that hand represent you, me. Every person that ever came into this world, let this billfold represent sin. God loves you. He hates the sin. And there's nothing that we can do in our flesh to get rid of that sin debt. You could give all money and on and on and on and on. And the Bible tells us right there, not of works, lest any man should boast. No man is going to go to heaven because they did enough good works. We're helpless. Until Jesus Christ left his throne in glory, the Messiah came, and he took your sin, my sin, and the sin debt of the whole world, and he gave up the ghost. The grave could not hold him. 3 days, 3 nights, he rose again, paid in full. Here's what you need to do. Realize it. I get it. I have a sin debt that I can't get rid of. There's nothing that I can do in my flesh. There's nothing I can do in my flesh. I get it. That's why Jesus came, is because we're all helpless without him. And he took my sin, the sin debt of the whole world, and he paid mine. And when I believe in his work of redemption, his shed blood, I have eternal life. For God so loved the world, but he hated the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever sinner believes in him, shall not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. How much easier can God make it? Jesus did the hard part. We believe.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.